commander of Apollo 11. 100 years ago, Jules Verne wrote a book about a voyage to the moon. His spaceship, Columbia, took off from Florida, landed in the Pacific Ocean after completing a trip to the moon. Seems appropriate to us to share with you some of the reflections of the crew as the modern day Columbia completes its rendezvous with the planet Earth in the same Pacific Ocean tomorrow. Here's Mike Collins. Roger, this trip of ours to the moon may have looked to you simple or easy. I'd like to assure you that that has not been the case. The Saturn V rocket, which put us into orbit, is an incredibly complicated piece of machinery, every piece of which works flawlessly. This computer up above my head has a 38,000 word vocabulary, each word of which has been very carefully chosen to be of the utmost value to us, the crew. This switch, which I have in my hand now, has over 300 counterparts in the command module alone, this one single switch design. In addition to that, there are a myriad of circuit breakers, levers, rods, and other associated controls. The SPS engine, our large rocket engine, on the aft end of our service module, must have performed flawlessly or we would have been stranded in lunar orbit. The parachutes up above my head must work perfectly tomorrow or we will plummet into the ocean. We have always had confidence that all this equipment will work and work properly, and we continue to have confidence that it will do so for the remainder of the flight. All this is possible only through the blood, sweat, and tears of a number of people. First, the American workmen who put these pieces of machinery together at the factory. Second, the painstaking work done by the various test teams during the assembly and the retest after assembly. Finally, the people at the Manned Spacecraft Center, both in management, in mission planning, in flight control, and last but not least, in crew training. This operation is somewhat like the periscope of a submarine. All you see is the three of us, but beneath the surface are thousands and thousands of others. To all those, I would like to say thank you very much.
This is Houston. We're getting a good picture of Buzz now, but no voice modulation. And would you open up the f-stop on the TV camera? Try a 2-2, please. It appears to be a lot better now. We're still not receiving Buzz's audio.
Good evening. I'd like to discuss with you a few of the more symbolic aspects of the flight of our mission Apollo 11. As we've been discussing the events that have taken place in the past 2 or 3 days here on board our spacecraft, we've come to the conclusion that this has been far more than three men on a voyage to the moon. More still than the efforts of a government and industry team. More even than the efforts of one nation. We feel that this stands as a symbol of the insatiable curiosity of all mankind to explore the unknown. Neil's statement the other day upon first setting foot on the surface of the moon, "This is a small step for a man, but a great leap for mankind," I believe sums up these feelings very nicely. We accepted the challenge of going to the moon. The acceptance of this challenge was inevitable.
The relative ease with which we carried out our mission, I believe, is a tribute to the timeliness of that acceptance. Today, I feel we're fully capable of accepting expanded roles in the exploration of space. In retrospect, we have all been particularly pleased with the call signs that we very laboriously chose for our spacecraft, Columbia and Eagle. We've been particularly pleased with the emblem of our flight, depicting the U.S. Eagle, bringing the universal symbol of peace from the Earth, from the planet Earth, the Moon, that symbol being the olive branch. With our overall crew choice to deposit a replica of this symbol on the Moon. Personally, in reflecting the events of the past several days, a verse from the Psalms comes to mind to me. I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained. What is man that thou art mindful of him? Responsibility for this flight lies first with history and with the giants of science who have preceded this effort. Next to the American people who have through their will indicated their desire. Next to four administrations and their congresses for implementing that will. And then to the agency and industry team that built our spacecraft. The Saturn, the Columbia, the Eagle, and the little EMU, the spacesuit and backpack that was our small spacecraft out on the lunar surface. I'd like to give a special thanks to all those Americans who built those spacecraft. Did the construction, the design, the test, and put their heart and all their abilities into those craft. To those people, tonight we give a special thank you. And to all the other people that are listening and watching tonight, good night from Apollo 11.
This is Apollo Control, 179 hours, 9 minutes, ground elapsed time. During the past half hour, there have been some exchanges between spacecraft communicator Bruce McCandless here in Mission Control and the crew of Apollo 11. One item, they're trying to sort out and troubleshoot some difficulties with the biomedical sensors attached to the chest of command module pilot Mike Collins. Let's play back the accumulated tape, and hopefully by the time it's ended, we will have picked up communications again, and we'll rejoin the conversation live. Roll tape, please.
Houston, Apollo 11.
Apollo 11, this is Houston, over.
Roger, how's our thruster firing activity? We're about ready to crank up PTC if you are.
Roger, go ahead.
Okay, thank you.
Go ahead.
Apollo 11, this is Houston, over.
Go ahead, Houston.
11, we'd like you to shift to an omni-antenna configuration at the present time. We're requesting the S-band antenna Omni switch to Bravo, and the S-band antenna Omni switch to Omni. The high gain antenna track in manual, pitch minus 50, yaw 270, over.
Roger, I'll do that right now.
Roger, and if Mike has a minute, we'd like to do a little bit of troubleshooting. It seems he's either flat-chested or something because we've lost respiration rate on the biomed telemetry. That is the ZPN trace down here is flat.
I used him a little bit ago. He might hold on one. All the blasted wires are all connected is all I know.
Okay, Mike, we had a request that you disconnect the yellow connector from the signal conditioner and verify that it looks okay, reconnect it, and then if you would check the two electrodes that are placed, one on each side of your lower rib cage, over.
I'll bet you there's a smile on Charlesworth's face.
Cliff is not on right now. Gene Kranz just relieved him a few minutes ago.
Roger that. All those wires and things look normal up here.
Well, Roger, Mike, we could see variations on our trace as you connected and disconnected, but the medics still don't have a signal. Looks like you're sending us a message of some sort.
I promise to let you know if I stop breathing.
Apollo 11, Apollo 11, this is Houston, broadcasting in the blind, request Omni Bravo, request Omni Bravo, over. Apollo 11, this is Houston, communication reestablished. Apollo 11, this is Houston, will you confirm you are in Omni Bravo, over.
Okay, that ought to give it to you.
Roger out. Apollo 11, this is Houston. Mike, we're still getting a flat trace on you for the impedance pneumograph. Before you turn in this evening, you might try putting some fresh paste in the sensors, and if that doesn't work, the medics have agreed to forget about it, over.
Mike's off the loop right now. I'll convey the message.
Okay, thank you.
Here's the Apollo M again.
Roger, Mike. The trace on your respiration rate is still flat. If you have time this evening before turning in, it was suggested you try putting some fresh paste in the two electrodes that go on the side of your lower rib cage. And if that doesn't work, just give up on it.
This is Apollo Control. Columbia now 85,198 nautical miles out from Earth, approaching Earth at a velocity of 6,443 feet per second. We're still standing by for resumption of air-to-ground communications. Which may be difficult in as much as Capcom is leaving the room. We'll continue to monitor air ground as the crew prepares for their pre-sleep checklist, sets up the passive thermal control mode, and sacks out for about a 10-hour rest period in preparation for tomorrow's entry and subsequent recovery in the mid-Pacific aboard the carrier Hornet. Now hove to on the aiming point, or near the aiming point. Standing by at 179 hours, 27 minutes ground elapsed time. This is Apollo Control. This is Apollo Control, 180 hours, 25 minutes, ground elapsed time. We have some 4 minutes accumulated tape in recent transmissions between Columbia and the ground. We'll roll these tapes at this time.
Houston, you might tell Buzz not to exercise quite so strenuously. Over.
That's the paddle.
Say again.
That's the paddle.
Okay, that's one on us. 11 Houston, seriously, that comment was just aimed at your musical selection.
Okay.
Exercise?
Just running the ergometer.
Roger. Apollo 11, this is Houston, over. I'd like to know what your plans are as far as turning in this evening. The flight plan will show you commencing a rest period of about 182 hours. What are you planning to do on that? We're going to be watching the weather here, and we expect to have an update on the weather, I guess, in about another half hour or 45 minutes to pass to you. Over.
We're going to probably stick with the flight plan pretty much. We are going to check the lights in the northwest corner of the U.S. and southwest corner of Canada. If we can see up that high into the northern hemisphere, other than that, we'll be on the flight plan.
Roger. For your information, the laser from McDonald Observatory in West Texas will be up from about 181 hours and 30 minutes on for 1 hour. You should be able to spot the Earth out of the number one window every time you pass roll 357 degrees, and they, of course, are in West Texas. Over.
Okay, thank you. How about the number five window?
Stand by a minute. Roger, for the number five window, that'll be every time you pass 230 degrees and roll. Over.
Beautiful. Thank you. You guys are on your toes down there.
Roger.
You must have a new star chart. You must have a new star chart, huh?
Oh, we've got a fresh FAO here.
Honeysuckle, Houston, come check. Net one, voice check.
Honeysuckle, read you loud and clear.
Roger, read you the same.
Houston, Apollo 11. How much longer do you want to keep charging battery B?
11, this is Houston. And nominally, we're looking for about another hour and a half, but what we'd like to do is continue charging until shortly before you turn in for the night. Over.
That'll be fine. Are you going to want to charge A again at all?
Negative 11.
Okay.
A11, this is Houston. At about 180.45, we'll be handing over from Goldstone to Honeysuckle, and I'm handing over to Charlie. I'll see you when you get back. Over.
Okay, Bruce. Good night. Thank you.
Roger, good night.
Thank you very much, Bruce. Been a pleasure working with you.
Have a nice trip down.
This is Apollo Control. The weird noise has been reported by network controller as not being on the downlink from the spacecraft. Now it's stopped. Let's leave the circuit open here in the period prior to the time the crew goes to sleep, and monitor the air ground circuit. This is Apollo Control. We've been standing by now for quite some time for resumption of communications, but apparently no one is saying anything tonight. Apollo 11 now 78,134 nautical miles out from Earth, approaching at 6,785 feet per second. And at 181 hours, 17 minutes. Ground elapsed time. This is Apollo Control. This is Apollo Control. We've had one brief communication from Apollo 11. Spacecraft communicator Bruce McCandless is out of the room. The assistant flight director, Chuck Lewis, went down to the console to talk. Let's play that tape back and rejoin live when the conversation picks up again.
Houston, Apollo 11, over.
Apollo 11, Houston, go ahead.
Roger, Houston. For retro, I have the anticipated location of all the entry stowage, and I suggest you pull out the entry checklist and we'll go through those maps in the front of it.
Apollo 11, Houston, could you stand by just a few minutes? Charlie and flight are out getting a weather briefing. They'll be back shortly.
Say again.
No, this is Chuck Lewis. Charlie Duke is out with flight getting a weather briefing right now.
Okay.
You're not drinking coffee, I know.
They'll be back momentarily.
I stand corrected. That's Charlie Duke on the Capcom slot. Bruce McCandless in the last half hour has been relieved. Charlie is likely to respond now. He's putting on his headset. We'll listen in.
Hello, Apollo 11, Houston, over.
Roger, Houston, Apollo 11. Did you get the word on the entry checklist?
Roger, Mike. We sure did. We're ready to talk about it if you are, over.
I think the quickest thing is go through page by page the first part of the entry checklist where it has a map. Starting on the page with compartment L2 and L3. Are you with me?
Roger, with you.
Okay, L2 is as shown, L3 is as shown. There's about half the food remaining in L3.
Roger.
Where it says note, the CMP PGA is located in the L-shaped bag with the other two PGAs. The LEM shield was jettisoned with the, or correction, the CMP's helmet shield was jettisoned with the LEM, and his helmet and gloves, instead of being in the sleep restraint, are in the hatch bag.
Okay, let's see. Now, your PGA is in the L-shaped bag with the other two PGAs, and your helmet and gloves are in the L-shaped bag instead of the sleep restraint.
The helmet and gloves are in the hatch bag, the great big bag that's underneath the left-hand couch that you put the hatch in.
Roger, I thought that's what I copied. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, the next page is identical, except nitpicking point out R1, we got the entry checklist. Other than that, it's identical. And the third page has got some changes.
Go ahead.
In A1, are you with me? I'm over there in compartment A1 now.
Go ahead, Mike, over.
Compartment A1, the 16mm magazine will be located in window number 4. Instead of 5 tissue dispensers, there's only one of them left. In compartment U3, the 16mm bracket is on window 4. In the PGA bag, add the CMP's PGA plus add 2 LCGs. In compartment A8, delete 2 LCGs, add 1 PPK, making a total of 4, and add 10 pounds of LEM miscellaneous equipment. We told you 5 the other day. We think 10's probably closer. Over.
Copy.
All the changes on that page. Ready for the next page?
Right, go ahead, Mike.
In the next page, in compartment B1, we estimate about 15% of that food is remaining. In B2, we took PPK out of there and put trash in it. In B3, the 16mm cable, the 18mm lens, and the right angle mirror are on window number 4. And that there brings you all up to date.
Roger, how about the levers, Mike? Where'd you put those, over?
They're in the hatchback.
Roger. Stand by. Our only concern, 11, is with the stuff you got in the hatch bag. That's a pretty big bulk between you and A8, and we'd like to talk about moving that over to the sleep restraint. If you'll stand by, I'll verify that. Over.
Okay.
11, Houston. Our recommendation on the gear you got in the helmet bag, the hatchet bag, would be to remove that stuff and put it in the sleep restraint on the right couch. The reason is that the hatch bag straps are only configured for 0G, and it's a pretty difficult job getting it latched down. With the gear in the sleep restraint, it's a pretty standard latch down procedure, and you can also use the beta cord that you have on board. You concur, over.
Yeah, we'll look at it, Charlie, let you know.
Roger. And I've got a couple other things, Mike. We need to terminate battery B charge at this time. And also, the weather is clobbering in at our targeted landing point due to scattered thunderstorms. We don't want to tangle with one of those, so we're going to move your aim point uprange, to be downrange, to target for a 1,500 nautical mile entry so we can guarantee up lift control. The new coordinates are 13 degrees, 19 minutes north, 169, 10 minutes west. The weather in that area is super. We got 2,000 scattered, 8,000 scattered with 10 miles visibility and 6 foot seas. And the Hornet is sitting in great position to get to that targeted position, over.
This is Apollo Control. To recap briefly the conversation a few moments ago between Charlie Duke and the crew of Columbia, because of forecast thunderstorms in the prime recovery area in the mid-Pacific for tomorrow, the Apollo spacecraft's lifting capabilities will be used to stretch the entry path some 215 nautical miles farther downrange toward Hawaii to a new landing point or aiming point with the very rough preliminary coordinates of 13 degrees 19 minutes north by 169 degrees 10 minutes west. These numbers will be refined through the night as the retrofire officer exercises the computer and comes up with more definitive numbers. These will be passed on as they are available. Apollo 11 now 75,951 nautical miles out from Earth, approaching at 6,899 feet per second. At 181 hours, 50 minutes, and standing by on the air ground circuit, this is Apollo Control.
Apollo 11, Houston, some of the general last-minute updates here. On the entry, we were told you on the camera to set it at 50 feet. Turns out the biggest number on the camera is 25 feet, so just set it at infinity. Over. Hello, Apollo 11, Houston. We're ready to put you to bed and say good night if you give us your crew status report and verify that you changed out the CO2 canister a moment ago. Over.
Stand by. Charlie, crew status report follows. CDR 11023, CMP 10025, LMP 09027, canister change complete.
Roger, thank you very much.
No medication.
Roger, thank you. Could you give us an onboard readout, please, sir?
Stand by. Okay, bat C, 37, pyro bat A, 37, bat B, 37, RCSA, 51, B, 63, C, 62, D, 58.
Roger, copy. Thank you much. Apollo 11, Houston, it's a good night from the white team for the last time. We'll be off when you wake up in the morning. It's been a pleasure working with you guys. It was a beautiful show from all three of you. We appreciate it very much, and we'll see you when you get out of the LRL, over.
Okay, Charlie, thanks to you and all the white team for a great job down there all the way through. Thank you.
Outstanding.
Thank you.
Appreciate it very much, Charlie. Thanks.
Thanks to you guys, too. Eleven Houston, Mike, you get your chance to landing tomorrow. No go around.
Closer to Hawaii, too, aren't you?
This is Apollo Control. All good nights having been said, the crew of Apollo 11 is now preparing to get their 10 hours rest. And their last night in space here in the control center on one of the 10 by 10 Ida 4 television projectors. A drawing has been projected on the screen, ribbing Capcom Charlie Duke for his slight error yesterday on the television pass where he mistook the moon for Earth. As a spacecraft midway between moon and Earth, and it says, "Neil, I just spotted a continent on the moon." Charlie, the camera's on the Earth now. Apollo 11 now 74,906 nautical miles out from Earth, approaching at 6,954 feet per second, and at 182 hours 6 minutes ground elapsed time, this is Apollo Control. This is Apollo Control, 182 hours 10 minutes ground elapsed time. We thought that was all the air to ground for tonight prior to the crew going to sleep, but just a few moments ago there was a brief exchange reporting to Apollo 11 crew that the McDonnell Observatory in far west Texas had the spacecraft in their telescope field of view. Let's roll that tape now and then shut it down again.
11 Houston, we got some word just a moment ago that the McDonnell Observatory is said they have picked up the spacecraft in their telescope. Over.
Outstanding. We have been looking for their laser, but haven't had much luck yet.
Roger, we'll pass it on to them, Neil. Thank you.
This is Apollo Control. That completes the very brief exchange of a few moments ago. At 182 hours, 11 minutes, ground elapsed time, this is Apollo Control. This is Apollo Control, 183 hours, 25 minutes, ground elapsed time. Columbia spacecraft now 69,520 nautical miles out from Earth, approaching at 7,262 feet per second. Crew now in their rest period. Started their sleep period over an hour ago. To reiterate the change in landing point, this is a weather avoidance situation where thunderstorms are forecast for the aiming point, the original aiming point in the mid-Pacific. Therefore, after the normal entry interface, the lifting characteristics of the Apollo command module will be used to extend the entry range some 215 nautical miles farther downrange toward Hawaii to a preliminary aiming point. That is, the aiming point may shift around between now and entry, which is some 11 hours 36 minutes from now. But at any rate, the aiming point as calculated now is some 13 degrees 19 minutes north latitude by 169 degrees 10 minutes west longitude. The preliminary time of drogue deploy is 195 hours 12 minutes. Or as you were, yes, 195 hours 12 minutes 4 seconds. And the net extension over the earlier splash time is something like 40 seconds. At 183 hours, 27 minutes ground elapsed time, this is Apollo Control. This is Apollo Control. 185 hours, 29 minutes ground elapsed time. 9 hours, 33 minutes until entry. Crew is still asleep at this time, scheduled to wake up at 189 hours ground elapsed time, some 3.5 hours from now. We've had no word from the crew since the scheduled sleep period began. Apollo 11 now 61,034 nautical miles out from Earth at a velocity of 7,815 feet per second. At 185 hours 30 minutes ground elapsed time, this is Apollo Control. This is Apollo Control, 186 hours, 28 minutes, ground elapsed time. 8 hours, 35 minutes to entry. Crew of Columbia still asleep at this time. Some 2.5 hours away from wake-up time at 189 hours ground elapsed time. Because of weather avoidance in the prime recovery zone in mid-Pacific, southwest of Hawaii, it has been decided some time ago to shift the landing point or aiming point some 215 nautical miles downrange from the pre-mission aiming point. And all of the numbers concerned with entry and post-entry events have been generated, and we shall forward them at this time. Pencils ready. Command module, service module, separation. 194.48.07 ground elapsed time. 11:20.08 Central Daylight Time. Entry interface. That's 400,000 feet above the Earth's surface. Ground elapsed time 195.0307. 11:35.08. Central Daylight Time. Begin blackout. 195.0325. Ground elapsed time. 11:35.26. Central Daylight Time. 05G. 195.0335. GET. 11:35.36. CDT. End of blackout. 195.0656. GET. 11:38.57. CDT. Drogue chutes deploy. 195.12.04. GET. 11:44.05. CDT. Main chutes deploy. 195.12.52. 11:44.53. CDT. Touchdown. 195.17.49. GET. 11:49.50. CDT. Maximum G loading to be pulled during the entry phase will be 6.12 G's. Entry velocity, that's at entry interface of 400,000 feet, will be 36,194 feet per second. Flight path angle, minus 6.5 degrees. Aiming point, location, 13 degrees, 19 minutes, north latitude, 169 degrees, 09 minutes, west longitude. At 186 hours, 32 minutes, ground elapsed time, this is Apollo Control. This is Apollo Control, 187 hours, 28 minutes, ground elapsed time. 7 hours, 34 minutes to entry. Flight Surgeon Ken Beers reports that all three crew members are sleeping soundly at this time. Their sleep period will end probably at 189 hours, although they may sleep an additional hour to 190 hours. Spacecraft being tracked now through the Guam station. A line projected out from Earth to what's called a sub-satellite point, or the point directly under the spacecraft, would put it over dead center of Australia. At 187 hours, 29 minutes, ground elapsed time, this is Apollo Control. This is Apollo Control, 188 hours, 28 minutes, ground elapsed time. Apollo 11 now 46,254 nautical miles out from Earth. Velocity continuing to increase, now 9,081 feet per second. It'll be a dramatic increase in velocity as the spacecraft gets closer in. Here in Mission Control Center, the entry team headed up by Flight Director Milt Windler is beginning to come aboard. Handover in progress from Gene Kranz's white team. Crew still asleep at this time. For some 6 hours, 34 minutes from entry interface. And at 188 hours, 29 minutes ground elapsed time, this is Apollo Control.
This is Apollo Control at 188 hours, 43 minutes. Mid-course correction number 7 has been canceled, and we will add 1 hour of rest time to the flight plan. Crew will be awakened at 190 hours elapsed time. To repeat, we have canceled mid-course correction number 7, and we will allow the crew to sleep until 190 hours elapsed time. This is Mission Control, Houston. This is Apollo Control at 189 hours, 28 minutes. Apollo 11 is 40,961 nautical miles from the Earth, approaching at a velocity of 9,671 feet per second. Mid-course correction number 7 has been canceled, and as a result, we will let the crew sleep until an elapsed time of 190 hours. Weather in the recovery area. Well, we're getting a call from Apollo 11 now. Let's listen to that.
Roger. Good morning. What's the status on mid-course 7?
Roger. We were going to let you sleep in until about 190 hours. Mid-course 7 is not required.
Okay. Thank you.
The crew gave us a call at 189 hours, 29 minutes. We advised them of the cancellation of the mid-course correction. Weather in the recovery area, the skies will be partly cloudy. Cloud base is at 2,000 feet scattered. Wind east-northeast at 18 knots. 6 foot sea, temperature near 80 degrees. This landing area is 215 miles to the northeast from the original landing area, moved because of thunder showers in the original area. This new location should allow the recovery ship USS Hornet to arrive in Hawaii 4 to 5 hours earlier than originally planned. We expect it may be possible for the carrier to arrive at Pearl Harbor somewhere between 8 and 9 o'clock. on July 26th. That's Saturday. Crew is probably preparing breakfast now, and it's not likely we'll hear a lot from them in the right away, but we'll continue to stay up live for any conversation.